And before we begin to say anything as we come, is it working? Is my mic? Okay. Yeah, all right. So, you said there's one here already, right? Okay, good. All right, thank you. Yeah. Are you going to your class? Okay, so that's fine. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I was listening to something from the Hasidic Jew. And if you know anything about the Hasidic Jew, they want to be the exact written Bible. They want to leave the Bible as it is written. And some of the things. And they were saying, that God doesn't punish you for not praising him, but God will punish you, really, if you come in his presence and worship him without a joyful heart. And you remember what David said? I was what? Glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So that's why God loved David so much, you know? Like you go to the house of the Lord, you always come to his presence first, give him his honor, title, praise, all the praise. Because the angel in heaven, all what they're singing day and night is glory to God. Hallelujah, blessed be. So let us, why not just before we start anything, tell him how much we love him, that we are here with a grateful heart. Amen. I loved him. I loved him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary. Amen. Now we are into condition to enter into the kingdom, right? Let's pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning with a grateful and joyful heart. Lord, we are happy to be in your presence. Father, where would we be? Where else can we be this morning and be happy and happier? Oh God, we are so happy. This is the greatest joy of man, to be in your presence, to worship you, to praise you, to give you all the honor and glory, to put you in your rightful place, to say that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. Oh, Father, we pray this morning that may you come and rule in our hearts, Father. Oh, Lord, take your place, oh, God, and may you be the King, oh, God, of our heart, maybe the Lord of our heart this morning. And, Father, I pray that may you help me, Father, God, and help us all, Father, to enter into your presence this morning. Bless us, oh, God, with these lessons that you are teaching us this morning. We pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so quickly, it should be, is working? Okay. It should be, the slide that says Jehovah Nissi, it should be almost toward the end. Okay, all right, I'll keep while it's loading. So, last time, we are now going to tackle our topic this morning by God's grace. That's Jehovah Nissi. Okay? And what were you supposed to read? Anybody remember? Okay, and what else? Exodus 17. All right? And Exodus 17, so you all remember Brother George Martin preached about 17. So I realized that maybe that's why God didn't want us to really get to 17, because God wanted that to come out, and then we ride on that this morning. Because that was a particular fight. Can anybody know why that was a particular fight? Can anybody tell me why that battle in Exodus 7 was a particular fight? Yeah, Exodus 17. If you raise your hand, bring the mic so it can be recorded. Yeah, Exodus 17.
It's because because that's the time when Moses, after they won the war, they named the place Jehovah Nissi.
Okay, that's true. But I really want, okay.
Because it was Israel's first battle after they left.
Thank you. If you notice, Israel, they were not a nation before. But when God took them, and Brother Branham, if you remember last Wednesday, Brother George Martin, what did he preach? Can anybody remember that? Like I said now, when a minister is preaching, pay a lot of attention because everything is connected. And now, like I said, my method now, it will not be me coming here just trying to say something. But like I said, I'm nothing. God can take stone. He say, if you shut your mouth, stones will cry out. But God wants his children to learn to love him, and worship him. And that doesn't mean the minister coming here, preaching a thing, and gone, and then the people come, rejoice, and go home, and then the next day they don't know what happened. God wants you, as you move on, to build on, so that the love grows, until you reach and blend in that day when love is magnetized to brotherly kindness and we become one with him. Amen? That's what God wants. Me coming here, I'm nobody. Listen, God just put something in my heart, but that's nothing. He knows what is. I may say something and go into your heart, and God, it begins to go like firework into your heart. You go home and say, whoa. But if you do not pray or what you left it, it should just be like what Jesus said, that it's sore. So this morning as I come, what God ever put on my heart are seeds, right? I'm just a sower, but the germ, the life in the seed does not belong to me. I'm just an instrument, right? And all I'm doing is just throwing the seeds. But the germ, the life inside comes from him. Amen. He's the one who waters that germ. But if we don't put ourselves in a place that he can water it, he told us 14 that can happen. Some will fall in shallow ground. Some, the bird will pick it up, right? Some, they'll begin, but there'll be so much, they'll be entangled intertwined into roots and heart. But some, we fell into what? Good grounds. And that's what we're after this morning, the good grounds. And that's the reason why I said I'm going to change the way I teach. Okay, I don't want to come here and entertain you. I would like you all to be the good ground. When I say something about Elohim, or while you pick it up, you go search, you read the Bible, and God begin to water it. God begin to water it, begin to grow in our good ground. Because that's what he wants. Amen? Amen? So you remember what Brother John Martin preached last Wednesday? No, that was the first one. Does anybody remember that?
I know he spoke on how God identifies himself in his prophets, and he identified himself in Moses and Brother Branham spiritually and in the natural with both of their testimony, or their identifications facing each other.
Exactly. But now give me that in one English word that he used. You see? It will be simple. I want... Israel, when I ask you a question, it's having to be something simple. I'm not, because if we don't make it simple, we're not finished. Just so think very simple, okay? Like a baby, I just said. Give me one English word that summarizes all what you just said. And bro, because he used that in his title, as one of his events. Parallel. Israel, I thought it don't take too long. I thought it's just that example. Israel parallels the bride. Because you are trying to say Moses, the prophet. That to that. So you have two things going in parallel. All right? Is that clear? Okay. So, and Brother George was telling us about the number 17. And we went forth, and it was a changing of system. And also, Brother Branham told us Israel didn't have any sin entity that became, it had to first become a nation, become a church, right? And they begin to move on. The bride, same thing, all right? We had the same thing. So this battle here was one of the greatest battles and is what peculiar because it was the first battle that Israel fought as a nation. And that battle, God set in such a way that, and God even testified that from generation to generation, this is how it's going to be. And the bride, if the bride, we are like Israel, so that we fought that same battle, not physically, and that battle will follow us until the day of rapture. Amen. That's why, also you see, like Brother Joel was saying, God put it in 17, it was a changing of system. We are now you become a nation, now I'm going to make you a nation of warriors. Amen. All right? All right, so I won't go. It's not working? Okay, all right, no problem. We can see the projector is not working, but we can still move on. When they didn't have projector, we still live. So, all right? So I was just going to show you some Hebrews, but that's okay. Now let's read then our scripture. I was going to put it on the projector in Hebrew and in English, but that's okay. Exodus. Exodus 17. Now, since you've already done your homework all and read it, I'm trusting that you all did your homework and read it, then I'll skip some. The first part was the first war. And that shows God showed the two type of war you'll be fighting. The first fight was the fight against the element, no water. And then the second fight was the fight physical. And you know what Paul said later? We fight what? We fight not against. All right? So, already God was setting the foundation for the church right there. Because God brought them with a mighty strong hand from Egypt. They saw the mighty work of God when they went through that. Amen? But now God is saying, okay, fine. But you are going to be the warriors. But as a warrior, you have no power if you don't depend on me. Amen. All right? Else one could say, how come if he's God Almighty, he can see everything, has all the power, why don't just he go and begin to slay the enemy, defeat them, kill them, burn them, and then the children of Israel will just walk on bed of roses? God does not work like that. Amen? God was showing them, okay, fine, now you cross the Red Sea. We've done everything. You see me, God Almighty, El Shaddai. I did that. But I created you individually in my own image. Amen? Before you fell, you had a dominion. Before we fell, Adam could have spoken to the Red Sea, part and Red Sea, we part. The rest of you listen and part. If we didn't fall, Moses didn't even need to cry. Moses would just stretch forth his hand and the rest of you would part. Amen? But since we fell, that's why we lost that. And God is saying, now that I begin to take the church, I'm taking you from where? I'm redeeming you. And there's a song the Hebrew will sing that will give all the history and they'll say all the things that happened. And they said that from impurity, min hatuma, from impurity, God raised Israel. You see, this is a very profound Hebrew word. From impurity, from a sin, God raised Israel. Amen. They talk about all the signs. So the same thing, from impurity, from our sinful nation, our sinful nature, God sent a prophet to raise us. Now, from there, God raised us, then Brother Bram told us the greatest battle ever fought. And that the Amalekite battle was one of the greatest battles ever fought. Because that's the first time they had to say that we're going to be an army. Amen? In Egypt, they didn't fight God. said, Moses, stretch forth your hand. This happened. Flies and so forth, right? So the first part of the scripture was the war against element. We don't have water. Murmur against God. So God said, okay, I'll give them the water. Moses, go on the rock. I will stand there. Because the Bible says later that Christ was what? Was that rock. So you see the parallel. Amen? Amen. And then the second part now was the physical war, where men had to take out a sword. And as God expects of every Christian today, amen, that we have to take out a sword. Like Brother Joy was talking about the knight, the sword. Amen. We all have the knight, and we are knighted with the sword now to fight. Amen. And you're going to fight one of the strongest enemy ever, that's Amalek. And if you, I won't get into that today, but let maybe sometime we get into Amalek, where they come from. They come from Esau. And we know who Esau is. Amen. He's one of the greatest enemy. Amen. And that battle is still being fought today. So let me read just a scripture, and then if you haven't read the rest. So let me read from Exodus 17 from 8 to 16. Okay? So after God gave them the water, if you see how it goes, after God gave them the water, it's satisfied. They say, ooh, and a place is called Rephidim. That's what I want to show you. Rephidim, you all seen that Rephidim in Hebrew means a place of rest. Isn't that strange? You say, wait a minute. God bring me to a place of rest and say, take off the sword, you're going to fight. What type of rest is that? Amen? That place, Rephidim, is called a place of rest. They came in their journey, and then they got water and said, whoo, finally, we've done all this and we got Egypt and all that with all the murmur. God said, give us water. You know, when you have water, you have peace. You're rested now. All of a sudden, here come the greatest enemy, Amalek. Amen? So, many times, let me quickly put something in here. You come to Christ. God saved you. He gives you eternal life. You say, who? I finally made you, O Lord Jesus. I love you. You saved me. You went to that altar that day, and something came into your heart. That's a fountain of love that flows through your heart. Amen. And like Brother Bram said, you feel like everything loves you. Because what? God's nature. You see, when you reach that point, you blend into nature. Now you can say the birds singing, it's that they're singing to you. You see, even anything you touch, that they love you. You see why Brother Branham, when he can see the bees, say, bee, I'm sorry. But because Brother Branham blended into nature. And he can say, bee, I'm sorry. And the bee went back. That bull came, say, bull, I'm sorry. The bull went back. So at time I read you the quote, from time to time, you blend into that dimension with God. Where you forgot all the things around you, the job and worries and all that, and God sometimes gives you the opportunity to have that fellowship, and you feel everything loves you. Amen? Amen. But then all of a sudden, now you are on one camel. You can slay all those 400 prophets of Baal. Tell them, where's your God? And you can tell the devil, I defeat you, where are you? But then next time you're in a juniper tree, here come Amalek. Amen? All right, so Genesis 7, Exodus 17, from verse 8. Then, you see, right after Moses called that place Massa and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, God saying, is the Lord among us? Then God said, okay, I'll show you I'm among you. Then came Amalek, that's verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim, in the place of rest. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out. Amen. Go out, fight Amalek, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, because it's Herb, I'm pronouncing Hebrew, Hur, went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Let's stop here for a minute. Some will say, wait a minute. You see, when the unbelievers, people who don't understand, they say, wait, what type of God is that? I thought you told me that God is such a powerful God. And he let even Amalek prevail? But you see, that's when you don't know who God is. Amen? All right? So, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat. He just sat. Amen. He sat. Okay. Thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand. Okay. One on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hand were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of what? The sword. Now, this is their first, remember. The thing that is, okay, you got to understand, is a change in the system. That became a church. That came to a place of rest. Oh, Jehovah who loves us, he's going to give us a land. And it's a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. We are in rest. You are a Christian. You are saved. Who? Now I have it because God is with me. I'm in a place of rest. And here come Amalek. Okay, remember that all the time. And then he discovered it with the edge of the sword. The thing here is that these guys here were not, they haven't fought any battle. In Egypt, they were slaves. Amen? They have taskmasters. And they didn't fight any time. They were being whipped. Amen? When Moses thought that he could fight, God told you can't. He only killed one person. And he has to run away for his life. Just one. He has to run. So here come these people who had never fought before. As a Christian, you've never been to this land before. It's a new land you're coming to as a Christian. Don't think you can do it on your own. You can't. You can't. So what God was showing them, Amalek, yes, now begin. You guys begin to fight. Maybe they begin to have the start and they begin to have the victory. So, whoa, after we are strong. And remember what happened before. They're murmuring. They always forget what God has done. Before you know, they begin to have victories. It's us. God didn't do anything. Moses, God of fear, we knew how to fight. Imagine that they have battled all through and won everything. God will let them, after a while something happened. Well, did you bring us out here to die? And if Moses said, well, what about the battle? Oh, come on, Moses. We fought ourselves. Don't you see our men? They were strong men. With the edge of the sword, they killed Amalek. But God let happen that when Moses will go up and Amalek will begin to, and they get the fear will come. What? After all, we, the chosen people of God, can lose? So you see what God is doing, right? And that's the same thing for a Christian. When God begins to walk with you, you feel like you can walk on water, it's not you. This is a time to be humble. This is a time to have a humility. For the way up is down. Amen? All right. So, as we continue here, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this. Now, remember, Moses was on top of the mountain. He was busy fighting. He didn't know what was going on. All right? But see what God told Moses here. And the Lord, and you remember that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, What is that, class? Say it loud. I'm not going to answer. Say. What else is that? That's correct. It's true. But what else is that? Jehovah. What else is that?
Personal name.
I told you guys, you have to be very simple. That's the personal name of God. Like you call me Marcel, or you say Henriette, or you say Mike, or you say anybody else. That's the personal name of God. So class, just think simple. Don't think too deep, okay? So that's the personal name of God. Okay, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for what? A memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Look what God has said here. So if God said, I will put out the remembrance of Amalek utterly from heaven, that means that's the end of Amalek. We are not even going to hear about him anymore. Right? But now read the scripture. All right? And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And that's why I was going to show you how the word derived there. Nissi. For he said, because the Lord, who is the Lord again? The personal name, all right? So that's him. He's saying that it's me. He's not an angel. It's me, God, the creator. It's not an angel I'm saying. It's me, the creator, myself. I'm there. And the Lord, okay? And the Lord, Benisi, for he said, because the Lord has done what? Sworn that he, who? Himself. Not an angel. Nobody else. Himself will do what? Will have what? War. With who? With Amalek. How? From generation to generation. Don't stop at the verse above. So when you read the verse above, you're happy. You are so happy. Yes, God has put out Amalek utterly. Right? But what did he say? Moses built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi. For what? The Lord has done what? Sworn. The Lord, that's why I want you guys to capture the name, the Lord. That's his personal name. Because sometimes people say, God is not going to say an angel. It's not even you. That's why I keep asking, what's that name? Well, I want that to be in your mind, that you know that that's God himself fighting your battle. Nobody, it's not you, it's not an angel, it's not even Michael or Gabriel or anybody that he's sending. Him, the creator, he's the one fighting that battle. And who can win against him? Nobody. Amen? So, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord, that means Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever, the personal name, that God himself, El Shaddai, okay, will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Look what he says. Will have war. And that's where our class starts. First of all, let me go quickly, since we don't have this, and go into Nes. Nes, in Hebrew, Nes is means sign. It could be a flag. A flag, a sign, it could also be a miracle. So, class, with the little Hebrew that you know, when you hear Nissi, what does that mean? My flag, thank you. So if you hear, like I told you, Eli, El means God. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, Eli, Eli, my God, my God. Amen? Like, if you hear the word Isha mean wife, so when you say Ishti mean my wife. Amen? You got it? So Nissi mean what? My banner, my miracle, whatever is mine. With God, everything has to be personal. Amen? So here, this is where our class starts. All right? And I thought that was the first battle and the parallel, the Christian life. Okay? So, when God, now we have to take that and see how that applies to ours today as a bride. Because a historical God means nothing. I'm not interested in a God that you tell me that this is what he did. But what about now? That's why I say, I am that I am. Amen. Amen? And God willing, we also get into that one of these from the Hebrew. And what does Hebrew 13:8 said? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That goes back again to that I am that I am. I am who was, who is, and what, and who is to come. You see, that brings you right back there. So I'm not interested in a historical God that did something, but I cannot do anything. And I'm not interested also in a future God that I have to wait. I'm interested in the present tense God. Amen. Amen? So this is the third of what you are saying, Jehovah Nissi. All right? So it was at the time when Israel fought the first greatest battle. And from there, God was establishing them on a foundation that here I am, I set you out of Egypt as a nation with a strong hand. You defeated the Pharaoh, you need water, you drink it and all that. But you see, every time something happened, the children of Israel, they always forget it and begin to murmur. And you see, when Moses went to get the law, what happened? They begin to set up the golden calf because you see, the devil, like I told you, from the Garden of Eden, all right, if I can speak in the today's language, there was a leak and there was a fake news that went out. The devil brought a fake news to Adam and Eve and said, did God say, did you, that's fake. You see, so a fake news, how do you produce a fake news? Take the whole news but change one word. It's not a fake news. So all what Satan has to do, take God's word that was leaked to him and change one word. You shall not. God says you shall surely die the day you eat. All what he has to do to make it a fake news, just change one, say, you shall not surely die. Amen? So from there on, human being, we chose knowledge. So every time that God wants what? Faith in him. So every time something happened to us, the first thing from that point on, look at what happened to Adam and Eve. The first thing God knowledge, what did they do? Instead of saying, wait a minute, I've sinned. Let me go back home and see my father. Father, I know you told us we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that, we shouldn't do that, but we sinned against you, Father. Would you please forgive me? When he got that knowledge, wait a minute, we can build our own religion here. Let's do something. Eve, come. Let's go find some fig. Let's begin to build leaves because we realize now we are naked. We can do it on our own. Let's go and begin to build our own religion. Let's begin to do something our own. You see, that's where it started from. After you got that knowledge, the next is the human achievement. We are always interested in human achievement. You take a minister or anybody, God shows you a little bit something. God anointing, the next thing, what the devil wants to do, the devil wants to transcend you into the human achievements. I begin to say, wow, I'm so anointed. Wow, I so know this. And God, you remember, gift and calling are without repentance. Right? You go and pray for someone, that person's healed. The next thing the devil wanted to do is to make you begin to think that's you who did it. Where you pray so much. It's because you fasted so well. And then because you know, we begin to be arrogant. We begin to be, and you, if you notice, God hates that so much. Amen. Even his own prophet Moses, when he brought Moses there, and he told Moses, don't strike this time, speak. But Moses got there was so bad. Moses, strike shall I. Look what Moses said. Shall I fetch you and strike it? But by respect, even if he was in an error, by respect, God still gave him the drink. That doesn't mean he was lost. God just showed him that. That's the promised land of Israel. How beautiful it is. but you know you will not go in. Joshua will take them. So that should be a lesson for all of us. It doesn't matter how much God loves you, has anointed you, we have to follow his word. God, the word of God is so important to him. God is not ready to give you favors over his word. That will not work. I take that. God will never, ever give anybody favor over his word. It will never work. Look at Moses that he took, but all the miracles did everything. When Moses did that, he said, God, that vexed God. He just altered the plan of God. Because the rock, Jesus Christ, will be stricken how many times? Only once. Amen? But God, even in that, is a God, prophet, God anointing. God has supported him. Okay, fine. I give them water, but you are not going to see that. But it doesn't mean Moses was lost. Because later on, thousands of years later, we had a Mount Transfiguration, here called Moses and Elijah, and he said that, I'm going to send you again to bring the children. When the Gentile age closes, when God closes the door to you and I, God turned to Israel, he's going to send who? Moses and Elijah. Again, the spirit of Moses and Elijah. Amen? So that doesn't mean that Moses was lost. It's just that God get it displeased and put him on the side. Same thing with David. God said, David, this is a man according to my heart. But he did not say, David, yes, I know I love you. You love me, but I won't let you build that temple. Your hand is too much swelled blood, but I'll let your son do it. You see, but that doesn't mean, and yet they say he's the root of David. Yes. Amen? And Jesus himself come and quote son of David. Amen? Amen? Quote the psalm that David wrote, my God, why have thou forsaken me? It doesn't mean that David was lost. But God wants you to follow his word. Amen? Amen. So here, when they begin to fight that battle, like I was saying, is that coming from Egypt, these people begin to have the spirit of entitlement instead of being grateful. You know, some people, they are born, and maybe they fell from Silver Spoon or whatever. They think that everything should be where it should be. That is for them. It's called the spirit of entitlement. When a little thing doesn't go, well, why? Why? But that's not the way God wants his children. Amen. God wants you to be grateful. The very life that you have comes from him. Amen. The reason why you are able to get up this morning and see the sunlight because of him. Amen. How many people are in the hospital that were not able to get up and see life today? Amen. How many people now are in the emergency room? How many people today now are striving? I'm striving to live. You are no better than them. But it's just the grace of God that allow you to get up this morning. Because the Bible said that the night belongs unto him and the day also. If he take you out throughout the night, the people who cross into the other side, their soul were gone. There had to be a guardian of your soul, your spirit, and your body. That in the morning, that guardian bring your soul, spirit, and body back together and make you a living soul. And as a living soul, you breathe, you see God. So the first thing you do, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. Amen? Don't get up and say, you know what? Oh, because I exercise, I have great muscle. Or because I eat good food. Or because I drink apple cider vinegar. Or because I did this, I did soy milk. Or because I drink honey, I don't drink and. Or because I'm so healthy, I eat all the vitamins, all these people. No. Amen. It has nothing to do with that. It's because somebody, when you went to sleep, that person watched over your soul, your spirit, and your body. And that person, the Nezi, brought them together to make a living soul and you can enjoy. It doesn't matter what you can enjoy. You can enjoy your brothers, you can enjoy your sisters, you can enjoy your children, you can enjoy your family. And so you should be grateful. But like I said, human beings, we are almost closing, we continue, because it's a very, very important topic. But human being, the first thing, why it's me. Make somebody very healthy. Oh, because ask him, why are you healthy? Oh, you know, I eat well. I eat salad. I eat cabbages. I eat all the, I drink apple cider vinegar with my tea every morning, every night. Amen? Oh, I do this. I don't eat this and that. That's what. Why? That's a human achievement. But that comes from when you trace it back, it goes back to Adam and Eve the first time. What did that do when it happened? Hey, Eve, you know what? Honey, you know what? Here you are, you know God had tell you, name this, name that, name this, name that, name that, name that. You know. But something happened to you, so you know, hey, Eve, come, let's go, let's go. Find something. We can do it our own. We can. Because what did Satan told them? You'll be like who? You'll be like God. You remember that? Remember that always. You'll be like God. And Adam knew that, listen, God created mountains. He created a river. He created all that. And he said, name them. So if he said, we'll be like God, Eve, let's try that. Let's try what we got here. Let's take a fig leaf and build our own religion. But that didn't work. When God said, Adam, Adam, where are thou? He said, I'm hiding. You see, he's hiding. Who told you? Well, now, you see, and that's where we say blame game. Finger pointing. Instead of taking responsibility, you see, so before God, if you sin, you sin. Father, I'm sorry. You told me not to, I'm sorry. Eve and Adam, I'm sorry. It's not, well, but when God gives you that woman, you're so happy. You say, whoa, this is the flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. But things begin to go wrong. Well, the woman that you put is her. And the other one, oh, well, the serpent, you see. Instead of, when before God, listen, if you do anything against your brother or your sister, all right, sister, brother, if he means this to you, I didn't mean that way. I'm sorry. Forgive me. There's no argument. Well, because of that and that and this one and that one and that one, we are going back again. Amen? We're going to continue this. Pray for me. I'm preaching next Wednesday. And pray for me. God has put something on my heart by reading all of you your prayers, okay? Make sure you really pray for me. Okay, I can't do it if he does not help me. So we are going to continue this lesson. As you can see, it's a very important lesson. I haven't even reached half of it yet because that set the foundation. And you see, when you see building, they begin to be building, right? Many times, for a long time, you see the project, nothing's coming out. And you say, what are those people doing? They're just wasting money. Or when they're building roads. You say, how come these people, they're just there digging? I'm a civil engineer. Before we build anything, we have to make sure that we're on a solid foundation. Sometimes we want to keep digging and digging until we hit that rock. What did Jesus say about building a rock? If you build your house, listen, that the greatest civil engineer, the greatest architect was Christ. He said, who can build a house on the sand? Right? So, from engineering, you think that we engineers thought that God hardly said it. We just copy it, and then we begin to sing. Before we build a bridge, sometimes the bridge came in there for years because we haven't found yet. There's one bridge out here that takes years. They can't find that, and they said that people begin, the local people begin to trick them, say, because you didn't pay money for the gods are making no. All right? We have to go and find that rock. If we cannot find it, we have to do something to make it stand. That's the structure that you don't see. Once we have that, the rest, before you know it, the house is finished. Before you know it, the road is finished. You say, well, then why did it take all this time? By the time I begin to lay the asphalt, in a few weeks, it's already gone. You say, whoa, but what happened? Because the foundation is very important. It goes back to the Bible. The foundation that God gives you is very, very important. That's what you see up the windows and all that, we call it the superstructures. That's nothing. The wind blows, it blows the window. But the foundation, so God was trying to give them a foundation as a church for life. So we're also going to spend time and make sure that this Jehovah Nissi, like I said, I'm not going to rush over it. If it takes me 5 services, I'll do it. We are going to send this foundation and know who we are. Who we are as a bride. Brother Abraham said, you'll be like a Superman. How am I going to be like Superman? Let us pray. I know I run a little bit over my time. All right, let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy. Oh, thou God, our banner. Lord, we can fight any battle without you. You are Jehovah Nissi. Oh, our banner, Father, you are God unto whom we look unto. As David said, my help comes from the hills. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from where come my help. For my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Father, we are looking up to you this morning, Father. Help us. And Lord, I pray for my precious brother Tim preaching the service. I pray I may bless him, anoint him, and open the heart of your children, Father. And I also pray for brother Mike in New Mexico. Oh, God, may be with him. Help them. Bless the convention. Bless your children. Anoint him to bring the word to your children. Bring them back, him and his wife, safely home, Lord. Father, we commit all to your hands. We love you. Help us to adore you. Help us, oh God, to know that you are our lover. Help us, oh God, to know that you created us. Give us a heart, a loving heart, a forgiving heart, a heart that the love of God will flow so much through, oh God, that we love our brothers and sisters like ourselves. Give it to us, Lord Father. We pray in us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed, class. God bless you and pray for me.